Well, today we're getting really close to Christmas. And so I want to talk about my absolute favourite word. And it's not even really an English word. And that word is Emmanuel. And it's up there. It's spelt with an E. I know it can be spelt with an I. So please do not spend the entire time thinking about the spelling. Because, hey, different people spell it different ways. So let's just forget the spelling, think about the word. And I love this word because it actually means God is with us. And that's really the significance and the meaning of Christmas. We're going to look at the reading, which is where Jesus was named this, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Well, before Jesus came to earth, God wasn't known in the same way that he is now. He was best known by the people of Israel, but even by them he was not well known. Very few people had the sense that God was with them through every day and through every season of life. They knew that God was great. They knew that he was the creator. They knew him as a king. They knew that when they as a country and a people followed him, that their national life went better. There'd been people who'd had a close relationship with God, like Abraham and Moses and David and the prophets. But for 400 years, there had been no prophet who spoke out to the nation. For most people, religion was basically a lot of rules to be followed. And this was all about to change with the birth of a beautiful baby boy in a stable. God would no longer seem to be far off. Emmanuel had come, God with us. He was showing us a new thing. God's voice in the Old Testament had been likened to thunder. Here, he was speaking in a baby's cry. He lived in the splendor of heaven, and he moved into a stable. He lived in a place that was free from sin, pain, suffering and crying. And he was born into a world where the pain of his mother in giving him birth was just the beginning. From the realms of eternity, he moved into the place where he knew that one day he would be killed. And he showed us that God is with us through pain, through suffering, through grief, through death. He showed us that God understands our feelings at these times because he's been there. He showed us that God's love for the people of this earth is infinite because he was willing to walk all the way from the stable to the cross because he chose to, because he loves us. Sometimes I used to think, and people used to say to me, that I'd made a bit of a sacrifice to be a missionary in a remote jungle place all those years ago. But I left a place where sin was rampant, where death was still part of life, where pain and suffering happened. All I really gave up was hot showers and indoor plumbing. Jesus gave up the purity, the perfection, and the power that was heaven to come to this world. He gave up all that he had to give us all that he is, to show us what it means when we say God is with us. And Jesus showed us that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. A baby in a manger would change the world. A man dying a disgraceful death on a cross would reveal to us the love of God. And that same man would defeat the power of sin and death by rising again. Jesus lived his life with no settled home. He lived among the common people. Yet he showed us the majesty of God and his power by overruling the powers of nature with his "peace be still" to the stormy sea. And Jesus changed the world without leading a revolution or even a protest movement. Jesus healed people who were sick. He told people stories, and he taught them what God thought about things. And he revealed to us that as well as being the only perfectly just judge, God is also our loving Father. But Jesus only stayed on this earth for 33 years, and then he went back to heaven. So how does that tie in with his name, God with us? He's left us, hasn't he? But before Jesus left, he talked to his disciples. He said, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. I will be with you always, to the end of the age." God is still with us. When are we most aware of his presence? When we're doing the things that he told us to. Going, making disciples, baptizing, teaching. David Livingstone, the great African explorer and missionary, said, "I was enabled to go on because I had the word of a perfect gentleman, never known to break a promise, that he would be with me always." There are times when all of us feel that God isn't with us. Sometimes during the hard times we feel that he's not there. If he was there, we tell ourselves, he'd be doing something, wouldn't he? Sometimes just the sheer monotony of the daily grind makes us forget that God is with us. He's walking with us, carrying our burdens if we let him, leading us, guiding us, enabling us as we give him the opportunity. He's very often in there guiding us, even when we have no idea of it. He's giving us his peace, even when times are rough and we don't understand the world that we live in. There are times when we pray and nothing apparently happens. We pray faithfully, we pray with faith, but we don't see the answers that we're expecting. And we cry out desperately to God, but he seems to be silent. But even then, he's not absent. He promised to be with us always. And it could be that instead of shaping our circumstances to the way that we want them, instead he's shaping us to be the way he wants us to be, which is more like Jesus. I once talked to a guy whose name was Bob. He went to church all his life, but he had no idea that God wanted to be with him in his everyday life. So he got married, found a job, lived his life for 30 years before he found out that God, through Jesus, wanted to have a personal relationship with him. And when he committed his life to Jesus and consciously began living his life according to the directions of God, he was amazed and excited at how different life became. And yet he said, as he looked back, he could see that God had been with him all the time. God had gently led him along the path that led to himself. And when he really met God, it was like meeting someone who'd been there all the time. God is with us. God is with me. God is with you. The early Christians faced massive persecution, imprisonment, beatings, ridicule, even death when they turned to Jesus Christ. They suffered, yet they still knew that God was with them. And still today, all over the world, people are living through persecution and suffering, and they count it all worthwhile to have the presence of Jesus Christ in their lives. Paul said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." He said that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. And many of Paul's letters in the New Testament were written from prison. He also said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ." God is with us. He loves us. How do we know? Because he sent Jesus to die on the cross, to bear the punishment for our sins, so that we could be reconciled to God. Or in other words, so that we could be God's friends. What does it mean to be a friend of God? First, it means there's nothing between you and God. Your sin has been cancelled out. You can go near to our pure and holy God. And secondly, just like in human friendship, it means that there's someone who accepts and loves you just as you are. And thirdly, it means that you have the presence of God in your life every minute of every hour of every day. I found a story of someone who discovered that. Jacqueline was an elderly woman who lived to take care of her daughter, who was wheelchair bound. When her daughter died, Jacqueline not only lost her purpose for living, she lost her living companion. Her cottage in the country seemed as empty as an eggshell. Occasionally a friend would call or a note would arrive, but most of her time was spent in oppressive, ongoing solitude. Her health didn't allow her to circulate very much, and her best friends were now all in heaven. One day, Jacqueline's Bible opened to Philippians 4, verse 5, and four words struck her forcibly: "The Lord is near." "Well, if so," thought Jacqueline, "I should be more aware of it." "Lord," she said, "I'm going to pretend that you're here all the time." No, forgive me for using that word. There's no pretending to be done. I'm going to use my God-given imagination to visualize how very present you really are. Help me ever remind myself of the reality of your nearness. And that evening, as she retired, she said, "I'm going to bed now, Lord. Will you please watch over me as I sleep?" The next morning, on wakening, she said, "Good morning, Lord. This is the day that you have made." And sitting down with her hot tea, she read through the book of Philippians again, underlining verse 5. And then she prayed for a very long time. At noon, she said, "Now, Lord, let's watch the news on TV so you can show me things in this world I can pray for." Jacqueline and the Lord watched the news together. And then she prayed for flood victims in the Delta, a newly installed president in an African country, and for a man sentenced to life imprisonment. At supper, she bowed her head and thanked the Lord for her food. But she didn't consider that her prayers were travelling up to heaven. She felt instead that she was talking to someone sitting across the table from her. And gradually her attitude was transformed. The loneliness lessened. Her joy increased. Her fears diminished. And she never afterwards felt that she was alone in the house. Jacqueline was learning how to abide in the presence of the Lord. Are you lonely? You can live your life in the consciousness of the presence of God with you, just like that. Does it work? I know it does, because I've tried it. When I first went to live in Papua New Guinea, I lived in a house with another woman, and we became good friends and companions. After she left and I had to start living by myself with no other Australians closer than a plane flight or a day's journey by river, I felt lonely. I was used to sharing the little things of life with someone else, to having someone else around to talk over my problems, and now I just couldn't do it. So I began to do just what Jacqueline did. I talked to God all day, sometimes out loud, mostly quietly. When I had problems, I talked to God. Sometimes I cried to God. I read my Bible to hear what God might have to say to me. I responded by praying to him with the honest response of my heart. When I walked the bush tracks by myself, I talked to him, I sang to him, I complained to him, and I was strengthened by him. And when I sat at home alone, without even a television for company, I kept the conversation going. And gradually I learnt better to listen to him instead of just giving him a barrage of my own thoughts, feelings and emotions. And God literally became my best friend. I knew that he was with me. And when I got into situations where I didn't know what to do, I asked God for wisdom. And you know, Jesus Emmanuel is not only with us for our own comfort. He's with us to empower us to do things we don't think we're able to do. Do you want to be powerful for God? Most of us would probably say yes. Remember that he's with you. Talk to him. As you get out of bed in the morning, as you eat your breakfast, as you drive to work, as you do your daily work, whatever that might be. But also spend some dedicated time in his presence. Pray, read your Bible, go to prayer meetings, find a prayer partner. Spend some time in silence, not telling God what you need, but waiting for him to tell you what you need. Give thanks every day for his gifts, and most of all, for his presence. Focus on who God is and his awesome attributes, not on who you are and your weakness. Because God uses the weak things of the world to do his ministry, especially when they've trained themselves to hear his voice. And when you seek closeness with God, don't be surprised if your life takes some unexpected turns. God isn't with us to give us a more comfortable life. He's with us to make us more like Jesus, to work through us in the important task of making him known in the world. He's not a tame God, and he won't make us into tame people. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," it might be like stepping on a roller coaster. Suddenly, life is unpredictable and adventurous. When you pray for your children, don't be dismayed if God then sends them to do things and to go to places that you mightn't have chosen if you'd been in charge of their lives. But you'll be praying them into the very best life that they could possibly have, chosen for them by the great Creator, the loving Redeemer, Emmanuel. And young people, don't be afraid to follow God's path, because it will be rich, it will be challenging, and it will be full of purpose. Look around you, everyone, for opportunities to minister within the church and outside of the church. God is with you. He'll lead you, he'll empower you, and he will give you the grace that you need. And as we approach Christmas, we can all live our lives remembering that the Lord is near. We can remember that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We can remember his promise, "I will be with you always." God with us in our suffering, in poverty, in sorrow, in joy, in the political environment we might be in, in ministry, and in our families. It's Christmas. Jesus came to the earth. They called him, Emmanuel. And that means God is with us. Let's enjoy that in this coming week.